Welcome to Podcast 2187. Enjoy the show. And don't forget to submit your blaster for inspection.
Welcome back to Podcast 2187. Mark, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good because I'm here and I'm talking to you, and we have another Star Wars stuff episode filled awesomeness. I am on fire tonight.
The hell was that?
So I've been having some sort of just like, you know, it's that time of year for the pollination and all that. So I'm a little bit off. I'm good. I'm here. I'm happy to be talking to you. But if I say weird things and if I sound off, that is why.
All right. Well, okay. As long as we don't suddenly start talking about Battlestar Galactica or something.
Hey, I might.
Oh, God. I started thinking about that again recently.
I haven't seen it.
You know, it was a good show. And then the ending is like, they keep saying in the show, like, things like, this has all happened before and it'll happen again. And it's like, what are you talking about?
See, I saw something on Twitter about it was relating somehow to Game of Thrones or something about like, they said something about like people expecting things to go one way, and then when it doesn't go that way, they're disappointed, such as the Game of Thrones thing. I think they said Battlestar Galactica and stuff like that, maybe Lost, something like that.
Battlestar Galactica, the ending was basically that this was hundreds of thousands of years ago, and that the survivors land on Earth, right? And one of the survivors ends up being like, what's that, Eve? Not the Eve, but like, I guess one of the earliest man that was found, or woman that was found somewhere in like Africa, maybe.
Okay.
And that's who one of the characters was. So it happens and keeps happening. Does that make sense?
You said something about the survivors. I'm lost already there. I seriously haven't seen, and I don't know anything about that series.
Just imagine if you're assuming somehow watching it that this is kind of like it's spaceships and people wearing suits, and you know, and then you find out that, oh my God, this really took place 100,000 years ago, and then my mind starts going, wait, if they had the same kind of clothes that we wear and fashions and all that, how does that work?
Right.
Just small, stupid stuff. I mean, but the thing was, it was a good show to watch. Yeah. There were definitely some problems with it, but the journey was fun, even though the ending was like, I don't understand.
Well, I mean.
And hopefully that doesn't happen with episode 9 to bring it all around.
I really feel like they got a wrap on this one, though. Like, I don't, not every single person is going to be happy and perfectly awesome with every single aspect of it, because you can't satisfy the world with one movie. But I think they're going to have a pretty good handle on it. I mean, they know what this means and how important it is, and they're not going to mess it up, I don't think.
Well, you never know, Tim.
You don't. You don't ever know, but that's my feeling.
because what they have, their idea for what an ending is, obviously may not mesh with somebody else's.
That's true.
If you don't make her a Skywalker, you're going to piss people off. If you do make her a Skywalker, you're going to piss other people off. So
right. Well, and that's kind of what I'm saying about, like, nothing that they can do is really going to actually satisfy the world, which is completely interested in this movie. But at the same time,
right.
they can come pretty close. And I feel like consulting George Lucas is a step in the right direction.
Sure. But again, you know, everyone is having a glowing, you know, just the other day was the 20th anniversary of Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
But good Lord, I remember when the prequels were hated.
I know, right? Like, is that the point now when anybody says something about that? I'm like, oh, wow. I forgot about that for a minute.
It's like, I thought we moved on with that. Everybody kind of likes them.
Right.
Yeah, it's weird because I remember everyone, George Lucas needs to be off Star Wars. Give it to somebody else.
Right.
And now it's like, bring George Lucas back to Star Wars.
Yeah.
We need him back. It's like, what?
Yeah. Well, you know, when you, and again, different people will feel differently about this, but as a general consensus, when you strike gold with your first movie, and then if you break it down to trilogies, your first trilogy is seen as like the golden standard that shaped Hollywood today. no matter what you do afterward, somebody's going to have an issue with it and they want you to fix it. So when they do that, like, you know, take away George Lucas. So in a way, not because of that, but in a way, he ended up not being a part of these movies. And like you said, they're like, okay, well, we want that gold again, and it still isn't quite there, so maybe let's try bringing it back and see what happens then. So like, no matter...
Go ahead.
I'm like, no matter what you do, it's just, you're not going to be able to quite get the same feeling you have with that first one and that first series. It can get close, it can feel awesome, it can be its own thing, but you're not going to replicate the feeling of the first one.
No, never. But I need to ask you a question, though. So here's the thing. Trilogies yeah. as a thing, right?
Right.
Did that start with Star Wars?
No.
So no, what's I don't a, think what's so. What's the famous trilogy that was completed before Star Wars?
Because
the thing is, I had a buddy who went and saw John Wick 3, right?
Oh, yeah.
Spoilers for anybody. I'm not going to spoil it that bad. But I guess it ends in a cliffhanger. And he's like, it's supposed to be a trilogy. I don't understand. It was a good movie, but I'm mad that it was a cliffhanger. And I was like, trilogies. Trilogies nowadays don't mean anything to me. You know, there's a Star Wars trilogy. Then there was the Back to the Future trilogy. There's not even an Indiana Jones trilogy anymore. Shut up. There's not an Indiana Jones trilogy anymore. There's four damn movies. I'm tired of people five. I'm tired of people acting like they don't exist. But well, the thing is that why, you know, I keep seeing people go, oh, the Captain America trilogy. Okay, I guess. But what's with trilogies?
Well, my first thought for something before Star Wars was, but it's not a trilogy, but my first thought was Planet of the Apes. That was four, right?
No, I think it was like five or six.
Yeah, but before Star Wars came out, there were four of them, I thought.
Maybe five.
Oh, I don't know. Oh, yeah, five. Okay. So, yeah, it wasn't a trilogy. I mean, it wasn't a big thing, really, right? I mean, there was, like, individual successes for movies, but I don't really...
I'll tweet it out under Podcast 2187.
Right.
And anybody who doesn't see that but listens to this and wants to, you know, correct this, just, is Star Wars... Did Star Wars start the idea of trilogies as the perfect sort of
storytelling film method?
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
Well, because like, even like Jaws, you know, that came out, the first one came out before Star Wars, but the rest came out after. And that's more than three movies, even that.
Yeah.
Like.
And it doesn't tell one through three doesn't tell any kind of real story.
Right. Because, like, it's more like the first one with a bunch of sequels or something as opposed to a beginning, middle, and end
right.
for one like story.
Godfather 1 and 2 came out, right. I think, potentially before Star Wars.
At least yeah.
Godfather did.
Yeah.
And then 3 came out so much later that the trilogy just became an afterthought. I don't see that, even though it's a trilogy and the first movie started before Star Wars, I don't see that as a...
Right.
You know, I don't see that as... I see Star Wars influencing that as a trilogy, not it influencing Star Wars.
You know, it's a really interesting question, because I'm sure that it wasn't the first actual time that we had a beginning, middle, end trilogy of movies, but it obviously was the first big one.
So, and, off the top of your head, you can't think of anything.
Well, yeah, but that's kind of my question, is I've never thought of it as really shaping the trilogy set for movies. I mean, obviously, again, it's a huge one, but I never thought about it being really the one to kind of make it a thing. And at this point, they're kind of moving past that, because a lot of these movies have trilogies with the third one being two parts, so it's kind of like a four movie series with with the part one and part two splits.
Right. Rocky's not a trilogy. I don't know. Interesting. Maybe I'll tweet that out right now. tweet.
You know, hey, maybe we'll get a discussion based off of that before we finish the episode.
That's possible. Let's see what happens. All right, go ahead.
Well, yeah, so one other thing that I did know that I wanted to bring up tonight, especially good with the two of us being here, is it is being reported that John Williams has written about half an hour of music for The Rise of Skywalker, and he's supposedly going to start recording next month. That's not really that surprising as far as the timing goes, based off of previous times, the movies. It seems about right to me. Having said that, given that he is already writing it and has written some already, I guess another thing to kind of throw in with this conversation too is the report of his reaction to the cut that he's seen, because he has seen a cut of the movie. And basically, it seems like his reaction has been very positive, and he's enjoyed it. And I don't remember the exact like terminology, but the overall consensus was he was happy with the movie. And you don't always think about the importance of the opinion of John Williams on the movie, but it is relevant, because not only is he pretty much the only person to be a part of the creation of every movie of the nine, especially in such a prominent way, but also he contributes to half of our experience with the majority of the sound. I mean, I know, of course, the sound design and the mixers and effects and all that, but so much of the sound and emotion of the movies come from him. So if he's enjoying it, then he's going to be able to express to us his enjoyment. Hopefully he's inspired by what he saw to really pull out some great things for his finale to the Star Wars series. When he did Revenge of the Sith, there's some amazing and epic things in there, because he thought it was the last time he was going to do a Star Wars movie. And he really put some awesome stuff in there. And I'm really kind of hoping that we get the same type of situation here, where he pulls all the stops and just gives us one for the ages.
You know, the one thing, though, about this is John Williams is a consummate professional.
Yeah.
And if he hated it, he wouldn't say he did.
I mean, that's true, but he wouldn't be as positive as he was either.
He would. He's John Williams.
Yeah, but I could see him just being like, you know,
baby, come on. He'd be positive as hell.
Yeah, but he could just be like, yeah, oh, like, you know, I feel like he could find a way of being like it was an enjoyable time or something. I don't know, but he could find a way other than, I remember the words that he used, but whatever, when I read it, I got the distinct impression that this was a very positive thing that he was happy with.
Yeah, I mean, for the most part, I'm gonna just assume that he's actually happy with it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like, you know, we're so hungry for news that, you know,
that's true.
I saw this days ago and I'm like, oh, cool. And then today it's like, news! I was like, oh, I guess we're in need of news.
Well, one other thing I did want to mention specifically about the score, since he's writing it and going to be recording it pretty soon, this is all hypothetical and based off of potential storylines that we've discussed before on this show already, relating to potential things that may or may not happen in the movie. Let's say that, hypothetically, there is some sort of Ben redemption element to this movie.
Redemption?
Yeah. Let's say there's something to that effect. What I would really, really love to hear, I think one of the most masterful things that he's done with the sequel trilogy is the combination of Rey's theme and Kylo Ren's theme, especially in The Force Awakens when they're fighting on Takodana at one point. The two of those themes combine into this new master theme for a minute. And it's so great because they're almost mirror opposites of each other, too. So I would really love to see him take Kylo Ren's theme to a new level, and he can turn Kylo Ren's theme into a Ben redemption theme using very, very similar notes, just expressing them in a different way. And an example that I have, something that I've been thinking about this for a couple months actually, and if anybody wants to go to YouTube and look it up, there is a track from the score for the original Ben-Hur movie from the 1950s. And I believe a good one to reference is called like the Miracle and Finale, I think. It's like pretty much the last one. And if you listen to that, some of the notes in there and parts of it really remind me of, at this point, Kylo Ren's theme. But obviously the effect that you get from it is entirely different. So to me, if you listen to that, that's an example of how you can take the same type of note progression that Kylo has, but turn it into something much more glorious, really, and more of a moment for him as a character. I think that would be very impactful for the music if his character goes to that route, to have that type of music backing it up.
Can you not say Ben Redemption anymore?
I don't know.
It's got to be, it, seriously, from now on, it's got to be Ben Redemption.
That sounds like extra horrible. Complicated. Yeah.
Yeah, sure does. That's the beauty of it.
I don't know if I approve of that.
Whatever.
But like I said, if you want to look it up, the Miracle and Finale from Ben-Hur, that kind of captures the concept that I'm talking about for Kylo Ren's theme into Ben.
Do you think people are going to, if he turns suddenly, right?
Right.
Back into good, people are going to accept that?
I think if you do it where it is related to the story and it makes sense and it's relevant, I think it will be generally accepted. People will be okay with it. If you do it just for the sake of doing it so that you have somebody to root for, it is not going to go well. But based off of his character progression, the events of this story, discoveries that the character makes and so on, you can write it to where it would make sense.
Well, just I don't know.
Make sure.
Here's the deal. I love Game of Thrones. You watch Game of Thrones, or you don't watch Game of Thrones, but you have friends who watch Game of Thrones.
Right.
People couldn't believe in a hours-long slide into evil or into the lack of morality. Right. For whatever reason, man, with Star Wars, Anakin turns around and slaughters kids in Attack of the Clones. And later on... He's Anakin. He slaughters men, women, and children Tusken Raiders. Okay, I can get him being angry at the men Tusken Raiders, perhaps. But, he kills the women and the children Tusken Raiders. And Padme's like, I still love you. And then they do a cartoon series after that.
Yeah, because it's not like she didn't know. He told her.
Yeah, I killed them all. The men, the women, and the children. And she's like,
That's acceptable.
Yeah, don't do it again. or with the worst, they're not human beings, so that's acceptable. I don't really know which is good. Obviously that's not acceptable answer either.
Right.
But the thing is, it's Star Wars. It's what we like. We accept that. But again, I don't know if just. Online, online media or online, the conversation online is just worse now.
Right.
But is anybody, is Star Wars going to be Star Wars and people accept a quick turn to the good in a 2-hour time frame? Or are they going to be like they are now and be like, oh, you know what? There wasn't enough character development for me to accept his turn.
Well, but it's more than a 2-hour movie because he's been conflicted since the beginning. So the seeds are already there. You just need to give his character the instigation and the reason to act on the seeds that have already been planted. And you can do that in over 2 hours.
But you've got situations to where a large or decent sized group of people are not willing to accept any sort of relationship between Rey and Kylo because he went into her mind.
Right. Well, but here's the thing. Like, they already have some type of relationship. We know this, not only from the thing that Snoke kind of forced in Last Jedi, but again, if you listen to previous episodes, this is relating to some spoiler leak thing. They have, by design, on their own, force links and connections now. They have, whether they like it or not, they do have a relationship. It's just dependent on how far it goes. Are they going to... be together, so to speak. That's one thing. Versus, and in The Last Jedi, she said, "No, I saw your future, and you turn to the light side." And he said the same thing too. But again, the wheels are already in motion on that, and it would be a little negligent for JJ to just ignore all that.
Oh, I agree. And again, we don't even know. Everybody likes to think that JJ wrote his movie, and then Rian Johnson wrote his movie and they barely talked about it. But we don't know that they haven't been going over it,
Right.
Together for a while.
Right.
Who's to say Snoke wasn't supposed to be killed in the second episode. Everyone assumes, oh, you ruined JJ's idea. Did he? Do we know that?
I mean, look what the potential storyline is now for this one because of it.
Correct. But we don't know that this wasn't the plan from the beginning.
I mean, in fact, they've been saying it has been the plan from the beginning to have the Emperor involved. So,
correct.
You know. Correct.
But you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, yeah, I agree.
You know, until there's some sort of behind the scenes making of to where it's like, oh, no, JJ's plan was something else. And Rian Johnson said, I don't give a crap. I'm doing my way.
Right.
You know? It's like, let's not assume that people working for the same company on the same project had a giant disagreement and just wanted to, you know, to shoot each other in the foot, so to speak.
Right.
You know, why can't we assume that they worked together?
Mm-hmm.
And it certainly seems like they did, because J.J. Abrams changed the ending of his film to accommodate Rian Johnson's story.
And then was complimenting the script as the producer.
Yeah,
for Last Jedi.
And again, it may not be, you know, it's definitely not my favorite Star Wars, but I still like it.
Yeah.
You know, my favorite Star Wars, I have Attack of the Clones higher up than most people, but it doesn't mean they don't like the movie generally.
Right.
It just may be their least favorite Star Wars. So, anyway, what were we talking about? John Williams. No.
Well, I mean, yeah, I just wanted to mention that one thing that I was kind of potentially hoping we could get from it.
Hey, did you know, and I just found this out recently, that Williams wrote like 6 cues for Solo?
6?
Yeah.
I didn't know it was that much, no.
Yeah, he ended up writing like 6 demos for themes and then gave them to John Powell before they even started. And said, you may want to use this, adapt this for different characters, different music. And so apparently Powell then took it and sort of made his album.
Yeah.
And then after that, that's when Williams composed, you know, The Adventures of Han Solo after those themes that were used.
Nice.
So essentially, there's John Williams demos out there that may have never even been used.
Right.
But it was in this interview that John Powell just kind of threw out there. And it was like, wait, 6 cues, what?
Yeah.
So I'll have to find it and I'll forward it to you.
Yeah, because I did not hear about that. And that is pretty good thing to hear.
It's interesting that he's that involved, even when he doesn't have his name on something. I mean, he had his name on it, obviously, but you know what I mean? The finished product is not his.
Right.
He's, you know, he's doing a lot more than just contributing. He's like, you know, hey, what can I do for you, baby?
Right.
Yeah.
And that is a little conversation that I've seen recently too, relating to what happens next for the next composer. I think everybody at this point has assumed that Michael Giacchino is the next in line for Star Wars, you know?
Nope.
Not well, for me. Well, I was going to say that seems to be the assumption, but I have been seeing more and more names get thrown out there. Who would you say is the next in line then?
For this next trilogy?
Well, overall.
I don't think there's going to be any overall anymore.
Like, it's just split duties, depending on who what the project is and who's running it?
Yep. I don't think there's an overarching person responsible for Star Wars. I think each director will pick somebody.
You think Rami Djawadi has a chance for the...
you better believe I do.
Hey, that would...
And I hope he gets it.
I'm like, we don't know what the context of those movies are yet, but I don't think it really matters. I think he would be able to do something pretty interesting. The guy has got range.
Oh, the guy's got incredible range. And again, there's still other people out there that I would absolutely love to see. Obviously, you know, you and I both love Brian Tyler quite a bit, but you know,
I want Alan Silvestri. Like, I'd love to have him have a shot.
Oh, sure.
Like, it would have been great to have James Horner. We talked about this before. Have a shot at it. he might have even had a shot at Solo. And then Williams kind of picked John Powell for it, but still. Joe Kramer, we've talked about. He would be fantastic. I'm sure whatever he'd pull out would be great. One of the names that I saw somewhere, I don't even remember where, but somebody was talking about they wanted Joel McNeely to have a shot at a Star Wars movie. That was pretty interesting to me, because Joel McNeely did the soundtrack for Shadows of the Empire, and as far as I know, that's like the only Star Wars thing he's really done. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty sure that that's about it. So that's a big testament, I guess, to that soundtrack if people want him to do a movie.
For Orville?
What's that?
For Orville? You heard what I said about him in Orville, right?
No, you cut out for a minute.
I apologize?
Yeah. No, it was good. I just kept talking.
Well, what I was saying was that apparently people love Orville.
Oh, okay.
You know, he does I guess originally it was sort of a knockoff or a satire on Star Trek.
Yeah.
And it's kind of become something different. It almost seems like it's a serious show in its own right. And apparently his score is amazing.
Hold on. I'm going to look, because I did an interview with him a while back, so I'm going to look it up, because I'm pretty sure I mentioned Star Wars to him.
Well, he did Shadows of the Empire.
Right, but I'm saying, I think because this was afterward, and I think I asked him something about what he wanted to be, like, future Star Wars movies.
Can I just get it out of the way and say that, I can't believe I'm going to say this. I'll take a Hans Zimmer Star Wars.
Yeah, I'm a no on that.
Yeah, I know. I used to be a no too. I used to be adamant no.
Like I a still
hell
am.
No. Like a hell no, no.
Yeah, that's where I'm at.
Yeah.
No, Zimmer, no, yeah, that's no. In like every possible way, no.
Aren't you excited for his next ghostwriting project?
I would absolutely 100% back someone who broke free from Zimmer camp, which is Ramin Djawadi. I would love to see him have his shot after all the work he did for Hans Zimmer, and now he's got his own spot in life. If he wants to take a role and do a Star Wars movie, I'm all about that.
He's killing it,
man. Yeah.
And let me just say, I'm going to the Game of Thrones concert experience, so.
Oh, nice. Well, I was going to say, for anybody who's not that familiar, of course he does Game of Thrones. I'm pretty sure most people know about that. But again, it's just part of his range. He also has done other TV shows like Person of Interest, and he also has done movies like the first Iron Man. So he's
Iron Man, the first Pacific Rim.
Yeah,
he also
yeah.
does the music for Westworld. He did both Clash of the Titans films.
Yep.
I'm trying to remember. That's just off the top of my head.
Yeah, that's what I mean when I say he's got range, you know? Like, it's not like he's got one style that he just tries to use for all of his projects or anything.
Oh, he's great. And again, you know, the nearest comparison to Game of Thrones, obviously, is Lord of the Rings. And nothing really tops the amount of themes that Shore put into that.
Just a quick check on IMDb also says he does Tom Clancy's Jack Ryan that things on Amazon right now. Prison Break.
Yeah.
The Warcraft movie, it seems.
Oh, Warcraft's good.
Dracula Untold.
Oh, I like that movie. Yeah, don't anybody hate me.
You mentioned Pacific Rim. Medal of Honor Warfighter, which is kind of fun because that was a Giacchino thing at first. Red Dawn. Yes. Yeah, just other stuff like that too. But anyway,
he's good though. He'd be a good choice. And again, you know, it depends on. Actually, it doesn't really depend on where they go with the show. We might as well. Yeah. Is this time to jump over to that conversation?
Yeah, sure. Go for it.
So the next trilogy or series of films has been announced. Who's going to start it? And right. As we learned from Bob Iger, I guess, in a conference call, it's going to be Benioff, whichever.
Something like that.
Yeah, and Weiss.
D&D.
Yes, the showrunners for Game of Thrones and writers for Game of Thrones. and directors for Game of Thrones. They will be spearheading the new Star Wars movies that come out in, what, 2021?
Yeah, not, yeah, I think it's... Or 22. Wait, it was one of them, yeah.
It is 22. 22.
And, well, because we have that, and then we have the other trilogy that Rian Johnson is doing as well. But I think that's second, like, that's not the first thing. I think the first thing is the one that they're working on.
Yeah, and I still feel that there's something we're not learning.
I'd buy that, yeah.
Because if there's a first trilogy and then a second trilogy, Rian Johnson's stuff's not going to even be done for 10 years. We're not going to see his movie for 10 years easily.
What? And I don't know that they do this.
I mean, right?
What if Rian Johnson's trilogy is a series of movies for Disney Plus?
See, I honestly thought it would have been the Game of Thrones guys who would do that.
Well, I mean, that would make sense too.
But it's possible. I think maybe they went, maybe they're going with the more cinematic story.
Yeah.
You know, because, I mean, everybody at this point, when they say, you know, the Game of Thrones guys, your immediate mind goes to Old Republic.
Right.
And it doesn't even necessarily have to be the Old Republic as we've come to understand it from, you know, the old EU.
Right.
But just anything set hundreds or thousands of years before Phantom Menace.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if I don't think Disney or Lucasfilm is ready to go in the future of Star Wars yet. I don't think we're going to go 5 years after, you know.
Yeah, I don't think that feels right.
Yeah, I think they're going to dabble for a while in the past.
Well, or the current. You know, they have this entire generation with the sequel trilogy that they can expand on a lot.
Yeah, but I think a lot of that stuff could easily, you know, lend itself to Disney Plus.
Yeah.
You know, if you do a Finn spinoff, let's say.
Right.
Or a Poe spinoff, that's not necessarily feature film material.
Right.
But it certainly would make an awesome Disney Plus movie or Disney Plus series. If you've got Poe, you know, after the fact. But I think the next time we're going to hit any sort of movies, I think we're going to jump way out.
Yeah.
I think so.
But you're right. If they do, it would make more sense to jump way out to the beginning rather than afterward.
Yeah, because you can really build up, you know, by going in the past, you can have all sorts of fantastical type of things that we don't have, you know, right now. All well, different types of lightsabers, tons of different Sith.
Well, it's like, what would the mid, like, for us, the medieval times, what would that look like in Star Wars relation? You know, like you have those
stuff.
Well, you have those like old, and like you said, you can branch off from the old EU stuff, which I totally get and agree with. But like the concept of the old lightsabers that were connected by cord to your hip for the, like the power unit or whatever they had, you know, stuff like that. Like, what did it look like before it was refined to what we know now?
Right.
What was the understanding of the Force like back then?
What were old like, starships like?
Yeah.
No, obviously these temples and, you know, we sort of got that, the new canon lore in some of the Rebels episodes.
Yeah.
I think, what were they on, Malachor or something?
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
Well, either way, there was a temple where there's a bunch of dead Jedi and dead Sith, I believe. Or dead Sith. But, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that they could do with it.
Oh.
If anybody knows that type of environment, sort of doing a modern spin on you know, medieval, quote unquote, it would be the Game of Thrones guys.
It would be very interesting if they took the route of the super old Jedi versus the Sith before there was the rule of two.
Oh, I think they have to.
Well, because, like, just again, like, the concept of the armies of those factions fighting each other, you could that you know, that's a really intriguing idea, because it's a way to introduce a whole new side of this series that we don't really know anything about yet. You would have to have completely new characters, maybe some references. I guess you could kind of make it work if you tried hard, but basically it would be based on completely new characters, no ties to what's already happened, because none of it's happened yet.
Right.
So it's a really original way to not only take a look at Star Wars, but you can create a new experience within the frame of what we know. It could be really good.
Well, I think it will absolutely be good. I have nothing to base it on. But at the same time, it's like the Star Wars' biggest stumbling block right now, especially with some of the foreign markets, is that they're not jumping on. They're not jumping on it because they feel like there's too much to. How do you describe it? Okay, so let's take China, for instance. China sort of missed out on Star Wars.
Right.
They were very sort of is inclusive the word I'm looking for, to where a lot of our stuff didn't make it over there. And so they didn't grow up on Star Wars like we did. And so when a new Star Wars movie comes out there, it's not that big of a deal.
Right.
You know, Warcraft does better in the theaters than Star Wars does.
Jurassic Park is huge over there.
Right. And so I think what they said is that it's daunting for Chinese audiences or some of the foreign markets to get on board Star Wars, because it feels like, you know, this is episode 9. It's like, well, I hadn't even seen any of the other episodes. I didn't grow up on any of the other episodes.
Right.
And I honestly think if you go back so far that you're in that universe with lightsabers, which everybody knows.
You're like resetting the timeline in a way.
Yeah. Good guys, bad guys. And lightsabers, because that is really what's, if you have to break down Star Wars into its, you know, core component, it's people fighting with lightsabers.
Yeah.
I hate to say it, but that is.
No, you're right.
And so if you take that all the way back, I honestly think that that's a way to introduce it to new audiences. You don't have to know anything else that's come before.
Right.
We're starting off like the earliest ever in the Star Wars universe, and you'll understand it.
I mean, it's almost like a spinoff.
It is. I mean, it is.
Well, but I mean, like, it could still be a part of the main Star Wars line, but it feels like a spinoff in that it might be a slightly different series.
Well, everything's like a sister series. At this point.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, like, it feels like the production value of it and everything, it all can be like the main storyline at this point. It's just the new main storyline. But as an experience, it would feel like almost like a separate studio's take on Star Wars or something.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's the way that they kind of realize that they have to go, to be honest.
Well, you know, it's so funny because they've been playing up how there's going to be a break, right? After episode 9, they're going to take a break from the movies for Star Wars, focus on the Cassian series, The Mandalorian and Clone Wars, all that. I don't really think 3 years is going to be a big break until we have the next movie. That's what, 2 years until we get a trailer for it, most likely. And let's just not forget that it was 3 years between the Star Wars movies up until the current generation. But the originals and prequels were all 3 years apart. So to have a 3-year break and then another Star Wars movie is kind of status quo for the way it's always been. It doesn't seem like a big break.
Well, not only that, the difference nowadays is that we're going to have one or two series on a new series every year, easily. And supposedly, there's a third, which I had no doubt of.
Kenobi?
Well, I hope.
Yeah.
But either way, you know, you're going to have, we've got, this year alone, we've got maybe eight hours worth of Mandalorian, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, I don't know, 4 hours, 5 hours worth of Clone Wars. And however many hours of Resistance. Next year, we have season 2 of Mandalorian, season 1 of Cassian, possibly season 1 of another series. But then 2 years after that, or 2 years out from now, we may have season 3 of Mandalorian. We may have season 2 of Cassian, and then see, you know, there's always going to be Star Wars or new Star Wars for us to consume.
And if Mandalorian takes off, they've got a lot of room to expand.
Oh, for sure. For sure. They absolutely do.
So there's a lot of potential there for it to take up our time story-wise and our attention.
Well, and here's the other thing. I honestly think that we're going to start getting all the assets are made for Clone Wars. Clone Wars is actually a pretty cheap show to make, I think, at this point, relatively speaking, because everything's already done.
Right.
You know, you've already got the asset for all these. Let's just say, for example, you want to do a movie with Boba Fett, right?
Right.
How if you want to finish his story, it doesn't necessarily have to be a Clone Wars movie. Or
right.
Part of Clone Wars. But you already have the animation, the characters, the voices. You already have all the assets put together. It's relatively cheap to make an hour and a half animated movie and throw it on, you know, Disney Plus. And I think we'll start to get things like that to where you're going to start seeing those type of things plugged in.
Yeah, because, you know, at the panel for Clone Wars, at Celebration, Dave Filoni said something about they basically took what they had before and modernized it to the modern technology. And therefore, it does look like a little bit better, even though it's the same, you know, models that we already know. It's slightly upgraded and still better. And like you said, you know, if they've already upgraded all of this and they already have it on our current technology, there's nothing to keep them from continuing to use those resources for other things.
Yeah, and especially with, you know, like the beauty of the Clone Wars at the time, the TV show, was that not everything was revolved around the Jedi.
Right.
There were tons of shows or tons of things that could have just been their own spinoffs.
Right.
You know, there were episodes where you didn't ever see the Jedi in it. So you could easily have an hour and a half movie of, you know, it's already out there in animatic form, but you could have the hour and a half movie of Boba Fett versus Cad Bane.
Yeah. Oh, dude. That'd be great.
Right. So I don't see them, and they've got it sitting there. All the work's already done for it. A lot of the voice work's already done too. I don't see them just going, they want subscriptions.
And something that you said, this is a slight aside, but still Star Wars, so it reminded me. I did see a rumor recently that Cad Bane might be one of the characters coming to Star Wars Battlefront 2.
Interesting.
So if that happens, that'd be fantastic. And I also kind of want to throw into that conversation as well. A couple weeks ago, on May 4th, for that weekend, there was a sale for Star Wars games, including the Battlefronts, the current EA ones. And they were super cheap. So I did end up getting them, like the first and second, because again, I repeat, very cheap, like single digit prices, for the computer, for PC, because I've had them for a console, but I didn't have them here. And I do just want to throw out there, it is like an entirely different experience. I was very surprised. I liked the first Battlefront a lot. I saw its flaws, but I really enjoyed it. The second one, again, I enjoyed, but I felt like the hype of how great it was going to be compared to the first one was a little overdone. So there were things that were better about it, but there were some things that I didn't like as much as the first one. So it was still good, but not as good as it was being touted to be. But again, having played it on PC, it felt like an entirely different experience. I loved it. So if anybody has the capabilities on the computers to play a game like that, because it is kind of somewhat demanding with resources, but if you're able to do that, keep an eye for future sales and stuff, because it's different than it was when I played it on a console, and it was very entertaining.
The Battlefronts.
Yeah, the DICE Battlefronts. Which, by the way, that's a complaint I have from Celebration. Dennis, who is like the lead community developer man for DICE and Battlefront, walked right in front of me, like right past me, and I'm calling his name. And he didn't hear me, so he kept walking. So I tweeted like to him about that, and he responded. And he was like, "Hey, like, let's meet up afterward." And I'm like, "Cool." And I was like, "Okay," because it was at the panel for Fallen Order. So afterward, I'm like, "Okay, like, you know, kind of like, where are you?" Kind of thing. He's like, "Actually, what we're gonna do is we're gonna have like a community meetup for Battlefront, like by where the food area was later on in the day." And I forget why, but for some reason, I wasn't able to make it. And then he disappeared and never saw him again for the rest of the weekend. So Dennis, like, ghosted me. And it's
you got stood up.
Sad. I did. So I know he's a devoted listener to our show. So I'm sad, Dennis.
Yeah. He'll text me later.
Anyway, but yeah, no, Cad Bane, I would be interested if he ends up being in the game. That'd be pretty awesome.
I like Cad Bane.
Everybody likes Cad Bane. If you don't like Cad Bane, what are you doing?
Mm.
Even worse, if you don't know who Cad Bane is, Noah, somebody has to watch Clone Wars.
No, apparently he's watched them all now.
Has he? Has he really, though?
Yeah. I mean, I thought we had a moratorium on talking about him, though.
Yeah, well, I mean.
Everybody go watch Kessel Run. Radio on YouTube.
Yeah, the handle is at podcast2187 for his stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do miss ribbing on that guy.
So
he lives in Texas, but dresses like he lives in Colorado. He's like always with a jacket and bundled up, and I'm like, no, it's not. I know it's not cold.
That is true.
I mean, sure, parts of Texas get really cold, but good God.
You know, I saw a picture of him the other day, and I'm trying to remember the name. There's a character in The Incredibles. He's just like a side character that he's kind of shown for just a second. One of the superheroes in like a file. No, the first one. And I can't remember his name right now.
Okay, you have to find it because I like to see it.
Yeah, no, I'm going to look it up because Noah looks like this guy, dude.
All right, I'm done talking smack. All right, so we've got that. Game of Thrones, guys. I know that there is some people have problems with them, apparently. But no, it's not going to be an issue. The problem started when people didn't like what happened with one of the characters in Game of Thrones. Then suddenly, oh my God, the writing's horrible.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
So the feedback I've gotten on the series from coworkers I have, because again, I haven't watched Game of Thrones, but the coworkers felt like the last few episodes leading up to the finale last night were not really, like, there wasn't a whole lot of heart put into it. Like, they were just kind of throwing together some things that weren't really satisfying or like the characters deserved kind of thing. It was just like thrown together to get to a finale and just like, let's get this thing over with.
Well, okay. See, I can understand where they're coming from, and I don't disagree with anybody's take on it. The thing is, though, is that essentially what we're getting is the climax of a novel. You know, this isn't like they're adapting a book and the book has a clear beginning, middle, and end. There's only two books left, okay?
Right.
That he's writing. And this is season 8, okay? So season 5 was the first that they did without a book, okay?
Uh-huh.
So we're basically looking at 4 seasons for 2 books. Are you following me so far?
Right.
So let's say 5 and 6 is for 1 book. Okay?
Okay.
And then, I mean, obviously that doesn't necessarily work, but let's just say 5 and 6 for 1 book, and then 7 and 8 for the next. So basically what you're getting in this season is just the climax of a story. So not only is it the climax of a book, it's also the climax of 73 hours of television and the whole story in itself. So any real characterization is done. Any real plot progression as far as, you know, moving the you spent 6 books, you know, you spent 7 seasons moving the characters on a chessboard to get them to this point.
Right.
So now when you start, they're already at that point where they need to be.
Well, see, and like one of the things that they said regarding Emilia Clarke's character was that it felt to them like it kept building up towards something and then suddenly plummeted to an opposite direction.
Like, what do you mean? Did they? We could spoil it. Did they get specific?
I'm trying to remember because it doesn't mean a lot to me. Just something about like her character build up to where they thought she was going to go. And like she was getting increasingly good or something like that, and then out of the blue.
But see, the whole show's built on subverting expectations. And so, so many years ago, there was this whole treatise that this person wrote about the specific chapter in one of his novels. And the person was like, boy, you know, based on this, Danny's just going to burn everything down. And Martin looked at this critique or review and he's like, yeah, this person has got it right. So the idea that she was going to burn everything. The seeds have been laid for, you know, God, all the way back to season two. She has a premonition. The premonition comes true. Some of the other people have visions and the visions come true. She talks over and over again about, you know, I'm going to lay waste to your cities and burn down the buildings. The thing is, though, she's really a good person. She tries to be good. But continually, what she does as a character is everything that she's loved is taken away from her. So she has friends and confidants and people in her ear that she loves and her family, and this person dies. And then her dragons die. And so slowly and slowly, she has nothing left. She doesn't have anybody there to sort of be the balance to the dark side of her. And then eventually, she snaps.
Okay. I mean, it seems like it would make sense to me.
Yeah, it does for me too, but I think a lot of people really wanted her to be the hero. And I liken it to Star Wars in a way that if we did not have the original trilogy first, okay, if we did not have A New Hope, Empire Strikes Back, and Return of the Jedi first, if we saw 1, 2, and 3, I think people would lose their mind when he flipped. When Anakin went to the dark side, people would not understand it.
Yeah. No, I agree, yeah.
But the way it's set up now, we're ready for him to flip because we're told that he flips. We're told that he goes to the dark side. This is the first situation to where people have seen a character and fallen in love with a character, and then the character breaks bad, so to speak. You know.
Right.
And I think nowadays, you know, if Star Wars presented in that way, I don't think people would be able to handle it. You mean the person that I named my kid after, Anakin, turned bad?
Right.
What am I supposed to do with my kid's name now? You know, I named my son, his middle name is Alexander, because Alexander the Great. I already knew I was naming my son after a conqueror. So, anyways, I think honestly that the criticism to a large degree, yes, I can understand the criticism that they felt like it may have been rushed in some parts. I think that's a criticism that can also be leveled at some of the prequels, some of the choices made there. Because everyone always says that, oh, the Clone Wars, you know, made Anakin's turn so much easier to understand. Okay, yeah. Fair enough. So you're saying that his turn in the prequel movies seemed like a little bit of a jump.
Right.
But I think people are just honestly hurt. And I get it, you know, that the character that they've grown to love, you know, for 8-10 years or whatever, has suddenly turned out to be a villain. That may influence their perceptions on it. And again, you know, you like it, you don't. You know, I'm sure all the people who are watching the same show as me, you know, everyone's entitled to love it or not love it. And I don't hate people for it. This is just the way I'm looking at it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I happen to love this show. I think it's one of the greatest shows ever. Probably my favorite television show ever. And I think these guys are going to do a good job with Star Wars, especially if they're going to do, you know, a medieval type of Star Wars. I think they're going to be fantastic.
Well, and let's not forget the level of popularity this show got, not on the merits just of the books, but of the show itself that they set up to where everybody was so invested in it at this point anyway.
Well, yeah. And again, one of the things that I was actually talking about this with Drew, LA King's Drew, the other night was that, you know, love these guys or hate these guys are responsible for a renaissance of fantasy, you know, for a medium. We're getting Lord of the Rings on Amazon Prime because of the success of the Game of Thrones television show.
Right.
I don't know anything about it, but Wheel of Time by Robert Jordan is apparently one of the greatest fantasy series ever. And they're doing that for Amazon. Right. We've got The Chronicles of Narnia coming back. I think it might be Amazon. I think Amazon's really going for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we've got The Gunslinger. they're pretty much avoiding the movie and doing, you know, young gunslinger in sort of a fantasy setting. So, you know, and that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's a lot of other stuff as well. So it's really one of the situations to where, you know, love them or leave them, but they are responsible for the resurgence of fantasy. And I would love to see a fantasy, not science fantasy, but just fantasy Star Wars. You know, one of the things I've talked about on the show many times was loving it would be like a Dark Crystal Yoda.
Yeah.
Give me, you know, medieval swords and sorcery and night sisters and magic Star Wars. Because they could do it.
They certainly could. And at this point, again, they really have an option with this. They're playing up the end of the Skywalker storyline. They really have an option to break open whatever part of this they want.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, because let's not forget, in an entire history of this completely separate galaxy that has its own everything separate from us, we've seen a total of what? 60 to 70 years or something like that? No.
Yeah.
It was more than that. Is it more than that?
You know, it just occurred to me.
Huh.
So these Star Wars films take place in a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Right.
What if, like, you see a movie that takes place currently and it's just like people in office buildings?
Well, I was going to say, I really want a Star Wars movie that's, currently in a galaxy far, far away. And
yeah, but wouldn't that be depressing, though, if they're just like they're delivering mail with like the Force?
Well, even better. Like if they're doing
they
that,
they don't even have to walk up your driveway. They just push the Force into your mailbox because that's what life is like now. It's like whatever.
Well, but like they're doing that, you know, and they're doing their mail carry delivery, and then this Jedi person who's the post office person looks up in the sky and they see like a rover with an American flag on it going by. That's what I want.
No. But I do want Uber Eats with the land speeder though.
Oh, nice.
But what, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
All right. So what else we got to talk about, Timmy?
The only other thing I was going to mention is I did find the name of the superhero that Noah looks like.
Oh,
from
who
the Incredibles.
Is it?
It's Gamma Jack.
Gamma Jack?
Yep.
All right, hold on. Let me look it up.
You'll probably find the correct one is probably a black and white picture.
That is absolutely Noah.
See, I saw like one of his things that he was doing recently. I saw that and I'm just like, I don't know. It struck me. Made me think of him.
Yep, that's Noah. Gamma Jack.
All right. Well, I mean, I'm done. I don't know if there's anything else you're going to talk about, but I'm done.
No, I mean, we can talk about briefly about the rumor that, it kind of falls into everything else that Billy Lord may be playing a young Carrie Fisher for Rise of Skywalker. But again, you know, it, when is that? You know, because I've heard that they're going back to C-3PO before he was mind wiped, and that, you know, now you're hearing about Carrie Fisher and Luke Skywalker, you know, a scene with them after Return of the Jedi, right?
Right, yeah, the speculation about Billy Lord doing a similar role like what they did with Rogue One, but having her play a young Leia, and a potential de-aged Luke Skywalker as well. And I don't know if that is Mark Hamill being de-aged or other actors who've been used to, as stand-ins before or something. I don't know.
Well, the de-aging technology has come a long way since Tron Legacy.
Oh, for sure.
That was just like...
Well, that was impressive at the time.
Sure. Oh, sure. But now it's like, wow, holy crud. let me say holy crap. Can I say crap?
Yes.
God.
I say that.
I know, but you hamstring me on these phrases. I don't ever say holy crud ever in my life.
That's why we have This Is Madness.
Yeah, well. Anyway, so yeah, they did a really good job with his de-aging. So I think Mark Hamill would absolutely play himself.
And, you know, if it's after Return of the Jedi 2, if they're going like, you know, pre A New Hope, I don't know. But if it's post Return of the Jedi, I don't think it'd be that hard.
No. No, and again, it suggests that it suggests something on Endor, to me, anyway.
I mean, it could, and like that would be really cool. It doesn't even really matter where it is. If it's somewhere that we already know, it would be awesome. If it's a new planet or new setting, just for the sake of having a new setting for their conversation or whatever, I mean, it'd still be fine because we're still going to like to see their interaction. But what are they going to do for the voice? Like, do you think Billy Lord would do the voice or? So like, no, or like a voice actor or
hard to say. I'm sure they can find somebody who can do a pretty good job. Just get Steve Stanton to do it. That guy can do great voices.
He probably could too.
He did a great Obi-Wan.
He's done a great everybody, just like you said.
Yeah. And that's the other thing. I honestly, I got to tweet him, see if he'll respond. But I honestly think we're going to get some Raddus child, Admiral Raddus youngling in this.
Well, this is more of a side note, just directly for you, Mark. We just happen to be recording, so everybody else is going to hear it too. But remind me when we're done about the Steven Stanton thing, just because there's something I wanted to mention to you.
Ooh.
So.
Ooh.
Remind me.
All right. Bye, everybody. We got time.
Yeah. Anyway, though, like I said, that is all I had. But plus your addition. But as a final reminder, as we wrap up this episode, go to YouTube. The Miracle and Finale, Ben-Hur. Think it even has Ben in the title, okay, Ben-Hur? But just think about it. Think how it could play into a Kylo Ren redemption, Ben Solo music. I think you'll find it pretty cool.
Ben-demption. God.
Yeah, I told you. I don't accept that.
Oh, whatever.
Like, I'm sure if it happens, it will be like a hashtag thing, but I might refuse on principle.
Let me make it happen right now.
Oh, no.
I'm just going to podcast it or tweet it out of our account.
I can delete it. You should tweet it on your own account.
No, because that would be horrible. All right. Bye, everybody. Love you all.
Yeah, well. he's right. Everybody, if you're listening to this right now, I just want you to know you are awesome and a valued listener, and I appreciate you as a person. So we'll be back next time. And we are still working on, we're going to get some pretty good guests lined up not that far down the road, and some other cool things down the pipe. So
stay tuned. Tag. Ben Demption. Yes.
No.
Select a picture.
No.
And Ben Demption.
No.
B-E-N-D-E-M-P-T-I-O-N. Ben Demption.
No.
Tweet. Okay.
Oh,
bye, everybody.
The world is a worse place.
Bye, everybody.
See you next week. Oh, I got a notification. It's been tweeted. Ow. Bye.